Welcome back to Brass Stacks. I'd just like to read this one here before I go to the phone lines. Sanka, I am a morning walker at Bronx Beach, and I'm really appalled at how far down the beach umbrellas and chairs are now being put down. It seems as though they intend to take up the whole stretch of the beach. What is left for locals to enjoy? They have now taken up the piece opposite the car park. That is where locals enjoyed a game of paddle ball. Sir or madam, I don't know which one. It's something that I've heard a number of friends of mine who go to the beach regularly talk about. And I also heard that some sort of representation was being made about the matter. And hopefully we'll get something made done about it, but for sure, it really can't go on in this way, because I foresee that we're going to have a problem there. The beach belongs to all Barbadians, and people are allowed to share the beach with their umbrellas and whatnot, but to be able to take up so much space on the beach for private enterprise on a public beach is really not fair. And as I said, it is one of those issues that is going to cause a problem. I foresee that is going to cause a problem. This person is writing here now on the second issue where I was dealing with the young lady who was talking about people who have epilepsy should not be allowed to drive. And I was making the point that that is discriminatory, because a lot of medical conditions, people can have a reaction while they are driving. And but it doesn't mean that, you know, just because a person has a condition, they shouldn't drive. And this person here is writing, I had a heart attack in 2000, so I should have stopped driving for the last 16 years, according to your lady caller. Hopefully nothing will happen to her and she remains in perfect health. And I do concur, sir or madam. Because, you know, the reality is that, as I said, a lot of conditions, a lot of them, do cause people some discomfort. And that discomfort can come on to you when you are driving. I know a friend of mine who gets cramp, for example, on their right toes. And they've been trying to figure out for the last year what is going on. They've had a number of tests done and they still can't find out exactly what happens. And so sometimes they're driving and they have this cramp. So when you could imagine you have that cramp in your right foot, which is on your gas pedal, okay? Your foot gets heavier. So it's a case of trying their best then to make sure to slow down or whatnot. But it happens, okay? Should they stop driving? I don't know. Anyhow, we go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You are on the air. It's 11:19. You're on the air. Good morning. Let's try another one. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, Mr. Fresh.
Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. What about yourself?
Oh, I'm feeling a little sad this morning for Sir Fred, you know, but it was a work with him. He was a tremendous human being. All those who work with him could tell you that.
Well, let me at this time, on behalf of myself and my family, share the same sentiments and condolences to the bereaved family, close relatives, and friends. Mr. Price, I would have called the program this morning simply because you don't want to hear my name called.
This is Patrick, huh?
This is Patrick, yeah. I got to come up to defend myself. Mm-hmm. Because and while it was waiting, I heard you read it was a WhatsApp or email.
A WhatsApp,
right? That spoke, because I made the point yesterday, and the truth is, Mr. President, that sacrifice does not mean right that one size fits all. But the point I was making yesterday, Mr. President, is that there are homes with water attached to the homes, but doesn't have the waterborne facilities. Now, while the gentleman is saying that there are, and he can point you to houses that people go to the standpipe, that may be true. But what he refused to tell you is that some of these homes might very well would still have water meters in place, but there's a disconnection. Now, and you made the point, the person who wrote the WhatsApp, posted the WhatsApp, made the point that if you don't have a bill coming to you in the form of the new taxes now, the sewage and water contribution tax, then you have nothing to fear. So I don't understand where he was going with that. But, you know, what we'd like to tell him this morning is that the Prime Minister has made it lucidly clear that $10 million is no earmark for these individuals who now have pit toilets for the eradication of the very pit toilets. So once they sit tight, I'm sure that the Prime Minister keeps her promise, because we saw the reversal, repeal of the NSRL as promised, and the non-contributory pensions and so on as promised. So that too is in line to be dealt with. So those persons who are now having some discomfort as it relates to that, rest be assured that
Patrick, just let me cut in here. I don't see. Okay, Ms. Motley has always spoken out against the pit toilets and whatnot.
Right.
Yes, it was a promise from her party and whatnot. But personally, I do not see that as a political thing at all. I see it in the 21st century, no Barbadian should be living in that manner. It is unsanitary, and it can have an impact on the health of all those around them, so it can impact everybody. So, you know, I don't even see that as a political issue. I see that as something that has to be done, because people should have the dignity of the best facilities to do their number one and number two business. That is how I see it.
Mr. President, I can agree with you more, but I want to move on now to my two other
points. Yeah, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You spoke about the Ministry of Transport Works and Maintenance in relation to staggering the hours to offset the high volumes of traffic on the road, especially in circumstances where they do
repairs at night.
Marking. Yeah, road markings.
Not only road markings. It's not only road markings. The general repairs. If you had Siobhan, and I mentioned Siobhan because I know they would have done a job like this before somewhere.
Right.
A certain stretch, maybe like a 400 meter stretch or a 100 meter stretch, where they can actually dig up one side, and then they dig it up, they lay the foundation after that, they smooth it down, they crush it down, and then they lay on the new surface. They can do that within an 8-hour period. That is between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Now, less
precisely. So that in the morning then, nighttime you pass, they full of holes. The morning you pass by, it finish. There is no major disruption of any sort. Because at the end of the day, getting to and fro is a productivity issue. And
precisely.
And the thing is that all I'm saying is that these things aren't rocket science. We need to start to think differently about how we do things. It can't be this 8 to 4, 8 to 5 thinking all the time, you know. And the thing about it is that we are giants. We keep talking, oh, we gotta do things differently, but everybody's still going in a long line to pay the bills, you know. When you could sit down at home, those of us who have computers, of course, can sit down at home, or you can sit down at the office and, you know, with the necessary precautions on the computer, you can sit down in the office and you can pay just about all your bills.
But, Mr. Preach, and you can quote me on this, that why what you're saying is true. I think that the people of this country has elected this administration, and they have done so, given them a large mandate. And I intend that whenever they are going in the wrong direction, that I will call them up in the direction in which they are going. Because I believe, Mr. Price, that when you are elected, you must pay close attention to the voices of the people. And that if this whole issue with, not only road marking, but all these things, and that we can put other systems in place to circumvent or eliminate this high flow of traffic on mornings. I came down Lower Broad Street the other morning, and to my surprise, traffic, and when you get to the top there by to turn by the library, they're painting, making markings in the road. And Mr. Price, over 45 minutes from Bay Street to get past the lights by the bus terminal, and people marking the road in at the height of the traffic. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all.
You've
got to be able to do it differently.
And it happens all over the island. You can imagine that happen in Wildy. That happened to me one morning, rushing to a meeting. And the thing is, they say, by God, pass through Wildy, so I can leave. I can give myself at least a half an hour, 45 minutes lead time. Jeez, I still get to my meeting. I got to my meeting just about 5 minutes before. That is how crazy it can be.
And the ministry now has two ministers, a junior minister and a senior minister. So I'm hoping that they pay a very close attention, because once they refuse to listen, I will call them on it. Next thing I want, the last thing I want to speak about is the whole issue of the new administration in office, and some people are making this fuss about having to make appointments. And you hit the nail on the head, Mr. Price. The government have not been in office for 1 month yet. And I think it is only fair that if any of the persons elected have a ministerial portfolio, or the Prime Minister appointed some, we call them not permanent secretary, the other that sits in the same ministry. My one same as a brace is simply this: they must be given an opportunity to not. I don't want to use the word settle, but they must understand that they have to share the pain, both with the ministry for which they are now assigned, and also the constituency. And I don't believe what I would like the Prime Minister to do is to adopt the David Thompson model, where every quarter or every 6 months, as she deemed necessary, have them come back to the constituency and give an update of their stewardship. I think that is important for the people of this country, because the people of this country who voted for these individuals must understand what they are doing, what is their mission statement, what direction do they have for the constituency, what they are doing, having been elected. You can't hide and decide that. I believe that this has to happen. I believe the David Thompson model should be. Because, you know, sometimes we get carried away, Mr. Price, with the fact that another party implement that, so we don't want to go that route. I don't feel so. I believe that it can work if you put the right systems in place, where the schools and the constituency would be used by a time identified, and that the persons would be able to go and hear what their representative has to say on their behalf, what they have been doing, what they intend to do better, and that you will have an opportunity to both interact with them. I have no difficulty with the appointment process, because it must be managed. Obviously, Mr. Price, if you leave the office at, if a minister leaves his office at 3 o'clock and has a clinic, starts at 5 in the evening, and you just can't have it willy-nilly where people just decide that, well, the minister can be there today. So I think that a process must be put in place. Mm-hmm. And if the process is having an appointment, there's nothing wrong with picking up the phone. What needs to be done, though, Mr. Price, is that those persons who have clinics for their constituents, what they should do is ensure that you make this information known to those persons who elect you, or not only who elect you, but those who you represent. And once that information is known and all the numbers to access the office is readily available, then, and you put the system in place, persons who are on the other end receiving these calls will then be able to allocate the individuals who want to see the MP for whatever given reason.
All right. Thank you very much, Patrick. We take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Just let me do this one before I go back to the phone lines. I went to a primary school in the city, which is Wesley Hall Primary, around 5:30 p.m. yesterday to pick someone up. There was an older gentleman there in his boxers with a short hose and soap. There were many people still at the school, both adults, as teachers and parents, as well as children. The man attached the hose to one of the pipes, which I have seen children drink from, and proceeded to bathe himself right in front of everyone. Thankfully, he kept on the boxers. I looked around to see if anyone else found this disturbing, since I know men who don't bathe in front of their own children. And everyone seemed to think it was perfectly normal. So I'm wondering, am I overreacting? We go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. It's 11:35. We break at 11:55 for the regional roundup. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Price. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Well, I'm good. I'm remarkable.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, I want to size with you some of the things that you would have touched on already. For instance, I like the idea of, and it can be done because there's a gentleman in Barbados who's done a lot of work. He did a lot of trucking in the road, and he did it in the night, Mr. Robinson from Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in the days when he did Bastards Road. He would have done there above the Baobab Towers, and then by morning you could still use the side road. Excuse me, please. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can be achieved. It's just the know-how and the
know-how is here, sir. The know-how is here,
right?
But I think one of the problems would be, and I'm speaking under correction, I emphasize that, speaking under correction, I think the problems would be whether or what sort of contract the workers work under, because if they're contracted to work and they normally work like during the day, it may be considered to be sort of overtime, or they should be paid some allowance or something like that, because basically they would instead be working day hours, they'd be working night hours. But the reality is that it can be done. The know-how is here.
Right.
And the only thing that will stop it from being done is any consideration in terms of employment.
Employment, labor, and that kind of thing, right? You're clear. You're very clear. Yeah. So I would agree with it. And you know, a lot of talk is being has been gone into recently. I'm hearing this word fairly often now about reform. We've got to do a lot of reform in a lot of areas. There's so much reform is going to be needed. Let me say something to you again too. You see, the all the enactment and all the suggestions to bring in the monies and to do this and do that. If you set everything up and don't have that money collected properly and effectively, you're still back at square one, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about tax collection?
Yeah, tax collection. Yeah.
But that's why I go back. That's why I go back to the whole point of what sort of systems we have in place. You know, it's like I remember years ago. When you used to get more information flowing, that national house, some people in national housing units owe $20,000 and $15,000. and they only paid a few hundred dollars a month, you know. And I said to myself, but how in the name of heavens that could ever happen? I mean, you know, something has to be lax with your system, or you just are not doing your job. Because there's no way that should happen. So all I'm saying is that we need to look at our tax collection systems. We need to ask ourselves, are we gathering all the information necessary to be able to do this thing? And that is what we have to focus on. That is why I really think the real focus should be, okay? But not this you spread this net so wide that then you then paralyze business from going on, because that is what the effect it was having.
And I tend to agree with you when you abhor the lines. Lines could be of the past. The lines, those long lines, unacceptable. I mean to go and pay money, you know.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. But I heard something tentative, like they're going to start to address that kind of approach. Mm-hmm. And I am saying that it's for the better if that is hard. You see? Now, I'm going to ask you a hard question. I don't know how good you're going to answer, but I'll ask you. Now, as regarding the transport system and the minibuses that are, et cetera, comparative with the transport board, the commuters on the transport board buses, are they any worse off not having music? This is a hard question for you to answer. And then,
this is not a hard question for me to answer.
I'm pulling your leg. And second, coupled with that is, suppose you a person get into the transport board bus, because there has to be some, it's a little confusing here, because if a person gets into the transport board bus and play their set or whatever, when the sign say no music, whatever, you can't have a duality or an apparent contradiction. One entity can have music, but the other can't. How that would end up in law, in a law, set in a law court matter, if a person gets in the transport board bus and they're playing there, whatever.
But as far as I know, you don't play any music on the transport board bus.
That's what I'm trying to establish. Yeah. Are the commuters any worse off?
No, it's part of a service that is done. You see, the thing about it is that if you get in a bus, a minibus, a morning, and there is the radio playing and there's the news going on, regular news, because I remember sometimes you would get in the bus and all the kids would get in a minibus. You would get a minibus as against a ZR, right? You would get the radios playing. I mean, this is early years. So you would get VOB playing on the radio in the bus. So people are getting the news and they're getting the basic, you know, basic programming. And, you know, that was fine. Yeah. Some of these ZRs now, in trying to, part of their whole marketing strategy, I guess, to get business, they decided to start playing the popular music, which, again, was fine. There was, at that stage, there was no real laws or anything against it. But then, you know, what people tell you, get somewhere an H, just take an L. And so you move from one stage where you're playing popular tunes, then the guys start getting to these very slack lyrics.
But
and nothing seems to have been done about it. And people keep complaining and complaining about it all the time. But I feel like if I got into a ZR and somebody was doing that, I can keep noise about it. Okay?
Yeah,
and if me fella got a problem, I would get out and I pay you. I would get out. Because I'm not tolerating that. I'm not going to allow you to bring that into my head if I don't want it.
Point taken, but I'm saying to you, your station is inundated because day in and day out about the vulgarity, about the music. There's no complaint about news. I hear too much news on the buses, you know, or any good information, you know. There's no complaint about that. Whenever is a complaint, is always about the vulgarity and about that sort of music.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear nobody complain about hearing news, BBC News or VOB News or whatever. You don't hear that?
That is very true. All right, sir, we got to take another commercial break and we'll be right back. A gentleman writes, there was a lady bathing at a standpipe on mornings on the West Coast and no one thought it disturbing. We go back to our phone lines. Remember, we have to break at 11:55 for the regional roundup. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Sanka.
Hello, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well.
I have to take objection to a few things that I've been hearing and that I continue to hear from moderators and from a number of people with respect to payment for things, for taxes and things that are, water's free and this whole situation about water and the taxes which are being added on to the water and that sort of thing. Bajans, in my opinion, really don't have an unusual adversity to paying for things. Okay? I believe Bajans really and truly accept the fact that we have that thing. There's nothing that's free. We pay for things. But we have a problem with paying for bad service. I don't have a problem paying for service, as long as I feel that what I'm paying for is what I want, is what I'm supposed to be getting. And too often, we are hearing an attitude coming from people, from certain groups, that saying that make Bajans feel guilty for paying a certain level of taxes for a certain service.
You got to be specific, because you lost me there.
But this is the whole thing, right? I'm going to use an example. But what I'm really and truly talking about is the entire spectrum of things that go on in Barbados, the entire spectrum of services that are given to people in Barbados. Let me start with water. This whole idea about water. Now, I remember distinctly when the first raise in water rates that we have had over the last time, and the promises which were made when those rates were raised, which was to be an improvement in the service, in the delivery of water to the country, to the people in the country. Okay? And since then, there has been no, there's been, if anything, an appreciable depreciation in terms of that level of service. Yet you have people in the Water Authority making it, or and as I said, coming from the moderators as well, making Bajans feel guilty and saying, oh, well, you know, you're not paying them for water, you know. Water cheap. If you go to Trinidad or if you go to all these other places and that sort of stuff, you have to pay so much and all that sort of thing. That is not what it is about at all. If you have come to me and tell me, okay, you are going to provide me with a service, the first thing is I expect that you provide me with a proper service. I don't expect that's an intermittent service. I don't expect that at 6 o'clock in the morning I have to wake up to try to catch a little water because I know it's going
but
on
is that,
o'clock.
But is that really fair to the people in
no,
Water
but
Authority?
Just a second,
because the large, the vast majority of Barbadians, I don't think, have a problem in their water service at all.
Sankar, what I am saying is that there are people, when you hear the attitudes of people talking about Bajans get this water free, and we don't appreciate that, and we are not paying for it, I believe that is wrong. I do not like that attitude, because should be about service, okay? The public service is there to serve the people of Barbados. And it's, as I said, it's not just the public service. It's also the private sector that takes advantage. So therefore, because of lack of competition or certain things, they do not, because of monopolistic attitudes and stuff in Barbados, they then end up taking advantage of the Barbadian consumer. Like I heard Peter speaking yesterday and said, oh, well, people pay for their internet and they don't have a problem when they see the flow bill goes up or whatever. I have a problem with that. Because I ask myself, in this age of technology, when you look at services in the States or whatever, and you see that the cost of providing internet and all that sort of stuff has come down, why is it that ours is going up? Okay? Why is it that we are not upset about that? I think people are, because we've been told, listen, you have to pay, you have to pay. So therefore, a lot of Bajans, like sheep, don't want to argue about it. And that message has been hammered in to the Bajan mentality by politicians, by government, and now by moderators as well. Okay? We should not, what we have a problem with in Barbados is paying for bad management. And the whole thing which you've been discussing this morning with respect to the fact that the transport board is not doing the job in terms of managing the transport network in Barbados.
The transport authority.
The transport authority.
I don't think that they are.
Such a thing exists.
I don't think that they are yet.
Right? Right, and they aren't. But it is also a fact, there's a matter of, you have to ask yourself, the Water Authority, okay? Government itself. I take real objection to some of the statements which I hear the Water Authority speaking about in terms of this thing, illegal connections, okay? And these thousands of illegal connections and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it first started with when I heard about the sewer line, and I asked myself, well, how do we have all these illegal connections going to the sewer line that the Water Authority does not know about?
Mm-hmm. Sir, we got to take a break here. You're raising some very interesting points, as usual, and I invite you to come back again. We have to take a break for the regional roundup, and we will be right back, so please stay with us.